This week's parasha is Parashas Lech Lecha. And Rashi says, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a tzivoy to Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha, to go to a land that wasn't disclosed yet to Avraham Avinu, and it would be La'anoscha, La'toyvoscha, it would be for your own benefit and for your own pleasure. But the Svarim HaKadoshim learn a deeper lesson from Lech Lecha, and they say that Lech Lecha is a tzivoy that really not only Avraham Avinu has, but we all have, and that is Lech, to go, Lecha, to yourself. Lech Lecha, which means that there is an importance in life, a very essential importance in life for a person to discover himself and to look into oneself and to try to journey inwards. It's been said that we spend billions, maybe trillions of dollars to try to discover galaxies far away. There's the Hubble telescope that's been sent into outer space for many, many years, and it's taking pictures and trying to capture as much of the galaxies as possible. And yet at the same time, what's beneath our skin, what's inside of us, the human psyche, the human condition, is completely undiscovered. We haven't begun to scratch the surface of what makes us tick and who we are. And in order for a person to really be able to change the world, as Avraham Avinu was asked to do and was charged to do, there's first a very important step that you have to discover yourself. Avraham Avinu was told, Lech Lecha, go and figure out who you are. And once you figure out who you are, then you could start changing other people. There's a very beautiful memra that's said over from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that when he was young, he wanted to change the universe. He wanted to change the world. Some people have these ambitions of doing great things with their life. And he says, so he tried, he set out, he tried to change the world. He said he was very unsuccessful. Nobody was buying into it. And then he said, you know what, if I can't change the world, I'll try to change my country. And that didn't work. He tried to change his state, didn't work. His city didn't work. He said, I'll change my family. I'll change my kids. I'll change my wife. It was a disaster. Nothing was working. He wasn't able to change anybody. And then he finally said, you know what, let me try to change myself. And he worked very hard on becoming Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He ironed out every midah that needed to be ironed out. And he said, a funny thing happened. Once I changed myself, then I was suddenly able to change my family, to change my community, to change my country, and to change the entire world. And he did. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter changed the world, but it started before it was Lech Lecha, before you're going out to some promised land and doing outreach and trying to figure out how to solve all the other people's problems. A person has to first look internally and make efforts to understand who we are. Who am I? What is the purpose of my existence in life? What's my mission in life? And when a person is able to do that, then everything is a possibility. Once you've figured out who you are, now you could go do Kirov, you could literally change everybody else. But first it has to be built on a ground that I know who I am. And that's not an easy thing to do, by the way. It's a lot easier said than done. A lot of people think that they know who they are, but they really don't. If you're honest with yourself, you would realize that I don't really know who I am. The Rishon Salanter again used to say that a person lives with himself for 70 years, and at the end of those 70 years, he realizes that he doesn't even know who he is. He doesn't know who he is. I don't know who I am. And when my father was sick, Oliver Shalom, my father, Oliver Shalom, he was nifter about 13 years ago, And he was sick for about a year and a half before that. He used to actually always come to the Shmooze every Friday when I came out every Friday. Then we would go out for a bite to eat afterwards, and it was very memorable. He loved yeshiva here. He loved the guys in yeshiva. And the old-timers all remember my father very fondly. When he was sick, so he was in a hospital out in Manhasset. And Manhasset is a very wealthy place in Long Island. There's a very famous mall. I think it's called the Miracle Mile or the Miracle Mall or something. It's a whole, like it's a Spitz, all the Spitz stores. And I was in the waiting room waiting to see my father one morning, and I overheard a conversation between two women that didn't know each other. They didn't know each other. And they met in this hospital waiting room, and one of them says to the other, you know, you look so familiar. Where do I know you from? So she says, I think I know where I know you from. I was a customer in one of the stores in Manhasset, in this, you know, one of the fancy stores there. And I think you used to work there, maybe you still work there. She says, yeah, I still work there. She said, but I haven't seen you in a long time. Why don't you ever come back to the store? So she said, I'll tell you why. She said, every time I would go into your store and I would try on a dress, and then I'd come out and look in the mirror, so you or another one of the sales girls would say, oh my gosh, it's you. It's you. That dress is you. That you have to buy that dress. It's you. And she said, I don't even know who I am. And you're telling me it's you? I'm spending my whole life figuring out who I am, and this some random sales girl says it's you. You don't know me. I don't know me. And I was so impressed by that, you know, by that daher, that this woman was able to be aimed on this reality, which very few people are. Everybody thinks they know themselves. Everybody thinks that they have a good handle on who they are, and thank you very much. I do know who I am. If you do, great. But most people go through their whole life and they're busy with everything else, but they do not spend time to figure out what makes me tick. Who am I? This is not talking about the accomplishments that we have in life. The accomplishments are great. Some people are billionaires and they don't know themselves. Some people are very successful in Talmud Torah. They could make Siyum on Shas. They don't know themselves. It's not a matter of like not being accomplished. You could be accomplished, but that's not who you are. Essentially, you could have great accomplishments, but you still have to understand who you are. What are my weaknesses? What are my strengths? What can I do better? What are my taivas, and what are my bad midas, and what should I be working on, and who could I become? And this is a lifetime aveda, but it's a very, very important aveda, this aveda of lech lecha, to go and internally try to figure out who you are. Before we go out into the world, we have to go inward and try to understand who we are. This is something that people don't want to do. They don't want to do it. As somebody once pointed out that, you know, when a person goes into a car, the first thing they do is turn on the radio, they turn on a music tape or CD, or, you know, today I know none of those things exist, but back in the day they did, or you're listening to a shiur, you're listening to a podcast. Why do you always have to listen to something? Why is it always important to right away put something and spend some time with yourself? And the answer is that people are very nervous to spend time with themselves. I'll spend time with you. I'll drive with you. So I don't want to spend time. I'd rather listen to some podcast, listen to a share, listen to music, and get my mind distracted, because I don't want to have a conversation with myself. Because if I try to figure out who I am, sometimes it gets a little bit uncomfortable. Realizing, you know, how great I could be and what I'm falling short in, and making these cheshbon nefesh in a real way, it's very, very uncomfortable sometimes for a person. But this is the importance of lech lecha, that we have to try to look inward. He says, the Aleh Shur says that even though this is a very difficult Aveda, it's an Aveda Kasha, but many people try to avoid it, he says, a person must try to recognize who he is, because if not, ben aliyah v'ish emes lo yeh. You cannot claim to be a ben aliyah, and you can't claim to be an ish emes, a truthful person, if you haven't looked inside and tried to understand who you are. The question that remains is that, how do I do this? It's nice to talk about self-discovery, but how does a person actually do this? Practically speaking, we like in the shmooze to be practical. We don't want to keep it very too highfalutin that everybody walks out, okay, Shkayef, what do I do? How do you know who you are? How does a person know who they are? And it's so important, you know, when it comes to shidduchim, you're going to be going out with a girl and you're going to be, you know, engaging in conversation with her and you're going to be trying to create a relationship, but you don't even have a strong basis and a foundation on who you are, and now you're bringing somebody else into your universe and vice versa. And so these are important times to really try to understand who we are and to improve in a real way internally. And I think that the best way to really know who we are is to see who we are when nobody else is around. You see, when a person is surrounded by other people, family members and friends, roommates, rabbeim, you tend to give off certain impressions that aren't necessarily you, but you're doing it for public consumption. And that, it helps. It's very good to, you know, be part of a chabura that lifts you and that enables you to steig in that way. But sometimes it's a little bit not realistic in terms of, it doesn't make you who you are. It doesn't build you. It creates a facade that's impressive, but it doesn't really build you. Now there's a maisa I'm just thinking of with the Altafin Slabatka, that there was a Talmud in the Yeshiva Slabatka, the great Slabatka Yeshiva, and one Talmud, a roommate of another Talmud, went to the altar and snitched on him. What did he snitch on him? He says, I think that this Bachar is not Teich Gebar, he's not a genuine Bachar. He says, why, how do you know that? He says, because I'm his roommate, he makes Birchas HaTorah in the room, and he just like sort of davens it up. But this morning, he got an aliyah in yeshiva, in the Beis Medrash, and he gave like a whole very frum birchas, same birchas atayr that he made, you know, 20 minutes earlier and half an hour earlier in the room with very little kavana. And then when he was in yeshiva, all of a sudden he made like a, you know, a very chashuva birchas atayr. So I think he's a faker. And the altar said, not necessarily. He says, because when you're in a tzibur, the tzibur elevates you. It's not necessarily that he's trying to fake people out, but the fact that there's a tzibur of people that are there and listening to him and being yaitze with his bracha, so it uplifts your own avodas Hashem, and that's definitely true. We do get uplifted. That's one of the milos of being in yeshiva. You're able to be with a chabura and with a chevra of guys that are like-minded, and we're learning and we're trying to go towards a purpose and a common purpose, and we're here to help one another, and that's amazing. But that also doesn't always make who we are. It maybe improves it, but it doesn't really, it's not yet self-discovery, because it's still something that we're doing in the tzibur. When a person does things privately, that's really when you could get a truer litmus test of where you're holding and what you're doing. I always say this, I think I said it recently in the Vat on Tefillah, that, like, let's compare our Shemoneh Esreis when we're in yeshiva, when we're davening in a base medrash, versus, let's say, if we ever daven biyachidus, how do they compare? Is our Shemini Esrei as long, or is it very quick and very without kavan when we're doing it alone in a dorm? And I'll tell you that one time, one time in particular, I was in Camp Maris, which is Chaim Berlin's summer camp, and I had to speak to the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Schechter, about something. And Rav Aaron, when he's in the Beis Medrash, has he used to daven famously very long Shemini Esreis, maybe 20 minute Shemini Esreis, which is a long time. I was able to be Maver Sedra, during all that waiting time. I was able to finish Shas a few times. I'm joking. But you have a lot of time in Chaim Berlin. You had a lot of time by these minyanim, waiting and waiting and waiting for a Baron to finish. But in Camp Maris, I once went to his bungalow to talk to him about something, and his bungalow door was open, the screen door was shut, you were able to see in. And I started knocking on the door, and then I noticed that he was davening Shemini Esrei. Apparently, for whatever reason, he missed mincha and yeshiva, and he was davening a mincha. I said, it's going to be 20 minutes, maybe less, But it was like a 40-minute Shemini Esrei, meaning the amount of time that he davened in yeshiva was already a concession, but when he davened biyachidus, he davened much, much, much longer. I was mamish standing there about an hour waiting for Shemini Esrei to end, because he was an oiska arba demensh. He was a work through individual. He worked on himself and he perfected himself. And what you see was not even what was there. As much as you saw, he was megala tefach umechaset vachayim. He was so much more than you saw. And that's not always true by everybody else. Everybody else, whatever you see is maybe double, triple of what they really are. And the way that we're able to see and to realize who we are is to see how we are privately. How is our davening privately? How much do we do for other people when nobody knows about it? If it's a matan b'seser, that's the ma'ala of matan b'seser. My Maseser is not so much, the individual is getting tzedakah either way. Maybe you're saving him a little humiliation, but it's also, it's good for you to give Matan Beseser, because it helps you grow yourself. It helps you build those muscles that I'm not doing things for the world. I'm not doing things to impress other people. I'm not doing it in a public auction, that everybody could be very impressed by how many thousands of dollars I bought Nila for. I'm doing it without anybody knowing about it, just between me and myself and Hashem. That's a very high madriga. Anything that we could do when we learn in private and when we daven the way we daven, we say to them, where we help other people privately, that's the way a person is able to really understand internally what's doing with me. Where am I holding? Rapinkus in a sefer, he's not really speaking about this topic per se, but he, on Parshas Lech Lecha, he happens to speak about a Gemara that's very nageya to this shmuz. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says that when Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma took ill, so Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan came to visit him. We know about Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan that he was one of the Asar Ugei Malchus. He was going to be killed and tortured by the Romans. Al Kiddush Hashem, he died. But Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan, at an earlier stage in his life, came to visit his Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. And when he came there, he asked his Rebbe, who was about to die, Rebbe, ma ani l'chaya el maba? Do I get a place in the world to come or not? So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma looks at Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan and says, Klum maisa bali yadcha. Did you ever have a story that happened to you? Did you ever have an incident that happened to you? Very strange question. But let's continue with the Gemara. The Gemara says that he says, yes, I did have a maisa happen to me. That one time it was Purim, and I had monies of Purim in one packet, and I had some money for tzedakah in another pocket. I mean, I had money to buy my suda, to buy my schnapps, maybe mishloach manis, one pocket. The other pocket was for matanas levyainim. And I forgot to write on the envelopes of each pocket, of each wad of cash, which was for which. So one was mine, one was for aniyim, and I didn't remember which one. V'chilatim laniyim. And I gave both of them to the aniyim. I just gave all that money to aniyim, and I went to the ATM machine. I took out some more money for myself for Purim. But I gave everything to the aniyim. And Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma said, Im kein, mechelkecha yehe chelki, umigayrolcha yehe garoli. If you were able to do that, then halavai, your chelek should be my chelek, your gairol should be my gairol. That's the end of the Gemara. Fractur Pinkus, I don't understand what's going on here. Klum Maisa Bal Yadcha? Is this like the most amazing story that we could tell about Reb Chanina? Reb Chanina ben Trajan was a man that was Maisa Nefesh. He was Makil Kilos Barabim. When the Romans said that you can't teach Torah, he defied them. And he went and he gave Shiurim Barabim. He was obviously courageous and he was a warrior for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a person that was exceptional in his Avedas Hashem. This was not a small, average individual. This was not a person that lived a mediocre life. This is one of the Gedolei Yisrael on the highest echelon. What did Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma mean when he said, Klum Maisa Baliyadcha? What do you mean, Klum Maisa Baliyadcha? He was a Gadol Adar. Rav Chanina ben Trajan, one of the Gedolei Adar. He was a person that was Mechaper for Klal Yisrael because of the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. He wasn't a small individual. What is this question of Klum Maisa Baliyadcha? And Rav Pinkus said that I think the answer is going to be obvious after what we've spoken about this morning, that we're not talking about which maisa you did to get into Olam Haba. You did enough to get into Olam Haba. But the question is, we all know your accomplishments. That we know. Everybody knows you're famous, you're accomplished, you did amazing things. But in order to answer, if you are really indeed a ben Olam Haba, are you a resident of Olam Haba? Not that will you get Olam Haba, but are you a gehoyben a mensch that you're able to be so uplifted that you're living an Olam Haba digga life? I have to know, who are you? Not your accomplishments. You've accomplished great things in your life, but that doesn't mean to say that I don't know you. I don't know you. Who are you? Tell me a maisa that's going to shed light to me on who you are. Did you ever do something in your life that could prove this? Not your big famous banner headline accomplishments. That we know. We know your resume. But forget the resume. Who are you? And to this, he said that this is the maisa that came to my hand. This Purim, nobody knew. Nobody would have been able. I could have counted both. I could have given the bigger wad to Aniyim, and I would have kept the smaller. That would have also been a maisa that was worthy. But I gave everything to Daniel. I wasn't sure, and nobody knew about it. If Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma had not asked, we would never know this mice about Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan. But it was something that Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan did between him and himself. He felt, this is what I have to do. If the money's got mixed up, that means that for some reason I have to give it all to tzedakah. That's what his hergish was. He followed through on that hergish. It might have cost him a lot of money. Nobody knew about it. There were no reporters there. There were no spotlights there. But he did it between he himself and the Rabbeinu Shlalom, and that is a maisa that Yosi ben Kisma says, Im kein mechelkecha yehe chelki umigarolcha yehe garoli. That's halavai, I should be that. Because that's something that you did privately. You did it to yourself, with yourself, and that is megalus so much about how chashuv you really are. That's klum maisa baliyadcha. Rav Pinkus brings a few stories to give some more modern day examples, more current examples of a klum maisa bala yadcha type of experience. There was a guy in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yosef Liss. Rav Shach was very close with him, and he went through the war. He lost his whole family. He fled with the Mir Yeshiva to Shanghai, and he was able to first go to America after the war. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael. And he had his wife. They didn't know if she was Nifteris or not. He wasn't able to find out much. It's obviously a lot easier for a man to get remarried than for a woman. Woman's not allowed to have two husbands. A man technically could have two wives. So, but he was a little nervous to go and get remarried after the war because he didn't know if his wife was still alive or not. But he went to the Brisker Rav, who he's very close with as well, and the Brisker Rav encouraged him to get remarried. And that's what he did. He got remarried, and I forgot to tell you, the first wife, the wife that he married, his second wife, she was married previously. She didn't have children for 10 years. And then her husband died. So it seemed like she wasn't a bas banim. She wasn't going to necessarily have children. He wanted to have children. But the Brisker Rav said he should marry her. He married her. And they got married. They lived together for 8 years. And they were not able to have children. After the 8 years were up, suddenly she had a boy and a girl. They had a boy and a girl together. And Rav Pinkus approached Rabbi Yosef Liss and says, this sounds like a maifis. She was not married. She was married 10 years, never had a child. She was married to you 8 years, didn't have a child. All of a sudden, you know, a boy and a girl came out of her. Who could we attribute this maifis to? You know, which Rebbe, which tzaddik, which Adam Gadol, what school? Tell me what happened. There's a story here. So Rabbi Yosef Liss says, this is a skula. This is something that happened, and it was completely in my merit. It's not a tzaddik, it's not a rashiva, it's not a rav, it's me. It's all attributable to me. What's pshat? What did he do? He says, there were so many times that I wanted to go to the Brisker Rav and get a bracha to have children over the course of those 8 years. Brisker Rav was, you know, the Gadol Hadar, the Tzaddik Hadar, everything. And the Brisker Rav's brachas, no doubt, would have been able to be Pael Yeshua's. He says, but I was afraid. I was afraid that if I'd go to the Brisker Rav, there would be like an insinuation that I have sort of expectations of him to get me a baby because he was the one that encouraged me to get married to her. And I'd be putting undue pressure on him, I'd be imposing on him. And so because of that, even though I really wanted to go to the Brisker Rav for a bracha, I held back. Every day I had to hold myself back to not go to him for a bracha. I didn't want in any way be mitzar him to make him feel, you know, stressed and uneasy and anxious about the fact that I don't have a baby yet, even though he pushed me into getting married to this woman. He says, and that was the schus. That was the schus that I was able to have these children. The fact that it was something that I didn't do. Sometimes a skula is something that you do. Sometimes it's just a klum maisa bala yadcha. It's a moment that you could attribute to a self-struggle, an inner struggle that you're able to like overcome. When you're able to feel that inner struggle and that triumph over yourself, that's a klum maisa bala yadcha. That's a moment that you can take great pride in, and you can start beginning to recognize your inner greatness. You can recognize how great you are by things that you do privately. He says another maisa here, that with the Baal HaLeshem. The Leshem was one of the great Mekubalim. He lived in Yerushalayim, Besayf Yamav, and his svarim are Niskabel, you know, Bechol Tzvitz Yisrael. He was a guy, and he was a tzaddik Yisrael Eilam, very, by his Levaya, I think Rabbi Levine writes, he was by his Levaya, and they saw, like, he was buried on Harazesim, and there was, like, some Amuda Denura, there was some, like, very weird cloud formations over the grave when he was Nifter. Some very, very spooky things were had. The Leshem was a very holy man. And the Leshem had a daughter, and for many years she was married, she didn't have a child. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor gave her a very, very dour prognosis. And the doctor says, you will never, ever have children. I checked you out, did some tests. You will never be able to have a child. This is obviously the most crushing news you could tell a woman. And she went home. She wanted to talk to her father about this, the Leshem, but she saw the Leshem was learning, as he always was, and she did not want to disturb him. So she went to the, like a garage, let's call it, or a shed in the back of the back of the house, and she started crying. And she was crying d'mai shlish. She was completely beside herself in grief. The Leshem had to come outside at one point, and he heard somebody crying in the shed in the backyard. And he goes and he opens the door. He sees his daughter like going crazy, crying bitter tears. And he says to her, what's wrong? And she said to him, I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me that I will never have a child, and I'm beside myself. So he consoled her, and he says, but I just don't understand why you didn't tell me earlier. Why are you crying by yourself out here? Why didn't you come to me and tell me? She said, because you were learning. And you were learning. I didn't want to disturb your learning, so I just came out to the backyard, and I cried here. And I didn't want to disturb you. And the Leshem says to her, Bavur zeh, yu l'cha yiladim. In this chus that you didn't want to disturb my learning, I give you a bracha that you're going to have children. And Kachava, she had a son, and that son was, of course, Rabbi Yashiv. Another klum maisa balayadcha. This is something that she didn't do. It's something that she didn't do. She had every right. She was a daughter of a very chashuv father who could have consoled her. But she stopped herself. It's not a human thing to stop yourself from wanting to cry to your father. It's not a human thing. But she transcended human emotion. And she went and she held herself back. And she was able to, at that point, attain a much higher madrega in herself that she ever knew that she had. And that was the schus. That was the klum maisa balu yadcha moment that she had, to be able to have self-discovery. And when you have self-discovery, there is a whole new world that opens to a person. I'll tell you one more maisa that he brings here, also with children. He says there was a Yerushalmi Yid, a Jew from Yerushalayim, and again, he was married many years, he didn't have children. He heard that in Bnei Brak there was a big tzaddik who on Rosh Hashanah, if you get maftir in his shtibel, in his shul, then it's a big skula, maftir chana with Shmuel, it's a big skula to be able to have children. So he went to the Rebbe, this Yerushalmi Yid, and he told him his situation. He says, I understand that if I get maftir chana, then I'm going to be able, it's a skula to have children. Could I have it? He says, yes, you can have it. And he stayed in Bnei Brak that Rosh Hashanah. And the night of Rosh Hashanah, after Ma'ariv, he bumps into another Yid, and he says, who he knew, and he says, what are you doing here? He says, well, I came here, I heard that that this Rebbe, if you get Maftir Chana by him, it's a big skula, and he'd be zeichet to have children. I'm married for many years, I don't have children. And this, so now you have this Yid that has this dilemma, because on one hand he wants to have children, on the other hand there's another Yid that wants to have children. So what he did was, he didn't go, this first Yid did not go to the shul that morning on Rosh Hashanah, so that this other Yid could go and get that maftir chana, and that first Yid was zeicha to have a child that year. So three sort of similar maisim, but it's all these are the way that a person builds himself, the way that a person understands himself, is by these maisim that happen internally. There's an internal struggle, and you're able to overcome your taiva for something, and then you begin that's the beginning of your yitzia onto the world. We have these opportunities almost every day, every night. We have challenges that we're faced with. Maybe it's the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes we're faced with the Yetzer Hara and, you know, a Shmir Seinayim issue, and it's a very big struggle. And sometimes we'll give in to the taiva. But sometimes, maybe rarely, but sometimes we're able to stop ourselves and to be nizer in something that's very, very difficult to be nizer from. And we're able to, like, surprise ourselves that we were able to do it. And that's not a small thing at all. That's an amazing thing because it shows no one was around, nobody knew anything about anything, and it would have been just as easy to be nichshol as to be nizer, but yet you were nizer. That moment is a moment that's a klamaisa baliyotcha moment. That's a moment that I was able to see that I have some fight in me. I have strength in me. I have kedusha in me. And there's so many other opportunities that we have. Sometimes we're faced with doing a chesed, but we don't really. We're a little tired, or we want to wake up for davening, but we're exhausted. And should I go to shul? Should I not go to yeshiva? Should I go to davening? Daven later. Daven we're able to actually surprise ourselves. Nobody knows about it. But I got up and I went, even though I was tired, I wasn't in the mood, but I did it. Those are amazing moments in our life. Those are like really, those are the banner headline moments in truth. Not the ones that everybody knows about, but that I know about. That's Lech Lecha. That's the legacy of Avraham Avinu. That Avraham Avinu, better than he was able to change the world, he was able to begin with changing himself. He had to undo everything that he learned in his father's house. There were so many challenges that Avraham Avinu had. Imagine growing up in a house of a Dezara, that your father was one of the biggest proliferators of a Dezara, that he almost had you thrown into a kiln and be burned alive. It wasn't easy to be Avraham Avinu. And yet Avraham Avinu was able to find in himself the ability to overcome everything, to be Lech Lecha, to understand who he was, what his personal mission was in life, his relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom, and then he was able to go to Eretz Canaan and to be able to begin Klal Yisrael. But it had to start with a Lech Lecha, Klum Maisa Baliyadcha, to understand who we are personally and to spend time talking to ourselves. The best time that you could spend is with yourself. Before you go to sleep at night, or you take a walk with yourself, you take a jog with yourself, and you spend time, instead of listening to shlusim, to be able to just talk to oneself and figure things out, and what do I want to do with my life? Where is my strengths? And what could I do better? And what am I doing that could really affect the future and who and my diaries to be yet to come? These conversations with yourself is not a small thing. These decisions that you make and these kabbalas that you make and that you undertake, these are the most important things that you could do with your life at this moment and beyond, because these are really what defines you as, and not your accomplishments. Accomplishments, you know, what degree you get and what type of career you have and how much money you're going to make and how many talmidim you're going to have and what you're doing. Those are accomplishments. But that's not who you are. That's what you do. Who you are is who you are essentially. How good a person you are. How are your midas? How is your shamayim? How is your avas Hashem? How is your gutzkeit, the goodness that you have within? That's who you are. And that's Lech Lecha. That's the site of Lech Lecha. To spend time with ourselves. And then once we spend time with ourselves and we know who we are and we feel like we're on a good path, now the world is ours. Now we could do anything and everything that we set our minds to, and we're going to be blessed with tremendous Yad Dishmaya. But first it starts with understanding Das Atzmacha, to be able to understand who we are ourselves. Have a good Shabbos.